Paul Bongiorno joins us in our Parliament House studios. Paul, hello there.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
I can. I know the minister is creeping out of that tiny studio. So, Paul, we now know from the finance minister the federal budget is in May. That's good. He was playing his cards close to his chest, obviously. But he says the coalition has halted the blowout in the budget. That's the claim to fame. But we also know from the Treasury yesterday there's not going to be a lot on offer in the May budget. That's what it seems to be. Very low expectations.
Yes, the expectations have definitely been wound down, and it looks like that the tax cuts will be much more modest, although you've got to be careful of the three-card trick here. Scott Morrison wouldn't be the first treasurer to talk everything down and then on budget they say, hey, look what I've been able to do. And we shouldn't forget, Fran, that this is a pre-election budget. So the most interesting thing I thought from your interview with the finance minister was what he wouldn't or didn't tell you.
So well, there was a lot he wouldn't tell me.
Well, it's pretty clear, for example, that negative gearing, capital gains tax and superannuation are all going to be looked at. And taxpayers who are benefiting now from very big, very expensive concessions will find that they're going to take a haircut.
Yeah, although there's a lot of grandfathering going on to try and limit that damage. Yeah, it's true. The finance minister wouldn't tell us much. But he also, you know, he absolutely, on bracket creep, he didn't back away from the fact that bracket creep is a drag on the economy. And now we know that there's only going to be a modest effort on that front. So
the other thing to say to you just on that, and the minister hinted at this, wage inflation is in fact below the rate of inflation. Yeah. So bracket creep, I mean, they've been talking.
It's not moving any further.
Yeah. No, exactly right. And so they really don't have to do too much. It's nowhere near the beast it was when wage inflation was well ahead of inflation.
Which is a symbol of where the economy's at too, isn't it?
Of course.
What about on Senate reform? The minister's negotiating with everybody, he told us. Reform, we think, is coming. He wouldn't give us a sense of how quickly. There are some urging caution, urging to hasten slowly on this because there are so many implications and potential winners or losers. The independents, of course, many of them don't, well, the minor parties don't want these reforms at all. How quickly do you think the government is going to try and move on this?
Well, my understanding is that the Greens and Nick Xenophon have put a proposal to the government that they will back, and the government is having a big think about it, and the government definitely wants to move on Senate reform, and I also understand that we will see legislation brought into the next session of Parliament, and they want it done and dusted so that when we do go to the next election, there'll be Senate voting reform. And the government's particularly keen for this because at the last election, the vote difference between the lower house and the Senate for the coalition was much greater than in previous elections. And I'm told that's because a lot of voters wanted to put a brake on Tony Abbott. Mm-hmm. This time, they believe the Turnbull factor will mean that the coalition and the Liberals will do much better in the Senate. And they also then don't want a voting system that doesn't allow voters to get the result that they want.
So in other words, they think if they've lifted their Senate vote with having Malcolm Turnbull as Prime Minister and they've got Senate reform, they could have the Senate in their own right.
Nobody believes that. I mean, it is possible, but it would take a massive landslide. And I noticed Anthony Green yesterday thought it was practically impossible. But they would definitely. There is no doubt that they would definitely improve their position. And the other point that is attractive to them is that there would still be a crossbench, but except for Nick Xenophon, it wouldn't be the crossbench we now have. This is one of the reasons why Labor's basically said hands off anything that makes it easier for the coalition. We don't have anything much to do with. So Labor won't be supporting it.
Okay, just very briefly, because Gary Gray told us in this program yesterday, Labor is unlikely to win after the first term of office. Now that's stating the bleeding obvious, but it's it's hardly helpful to Bill Shorten. But what we heard there from Matthias Cormann too is that the government's not going to do any more on schools and hospitals. Labor is promising money for funding that. It's interesting to see what role the states might play in the next federal election campaign, in a sense.
Well, exactly right. The states have basically been told, I think all but two have actually got surpluses. You're sovereign governments. You run the schools and the hospitals. You pay for them. So Gonski is dead as far as the federal government is concerned. And, of course, Labor believes that that health and education are something that the voters really do care about. And they say that this will be a fault line, if you like, in the battle for the four votes at the election. And the other thing to say why Gary Gray's obvious comment wasn't all that helpful is that, you know, the latest Ipsos poll, sure, 52-48, you know, the coalition's still winning, but Labor's more competitive than the earlier poll had shown. And of course, it's a two-horse race. The odds are very long on the government being returned, but there still is another horse in the race.
And the government's searching for some more horses to run for them in WA. Paul, thank you very much.
Or the opposition, I think, Fran.
Oh, the opposition, I beg your pardon. Sorry, Labor. Paul, thank you very much.
Good on you, Fran. Bye.
Paul Bongiorno is contributing editor with the 10 Network.